Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be back. It feels like home here. We've been gone and it still feels at home, and I enjoy being here. Came in the church building here for what evening it was. Notice my name was off the mailboxes, so it is for real that we're not here anymore. So those are all normal things. And being at Brian's for a meal, realizing that life is going on and we are where we are. Maybe some of this was shared at Brethren's meeting, but I thought I'd share just a little bit. Over there at Hamilton, we are meeting in the Corvallis Grange every Sunday, and we have decided the first Sunday is a singing service in the evening or afternoon, and the third Sunday is a topic. And then we're having prayer meeting every other Wednesday evening in our homes. It would be extra rent to rent the Grange Hall to have prayer meetings, so we decided to do it every other week and trade it around in our homes. Plan to have school in John's garage this year. Should work all right. And feeling settled in, we're trying to live a normal life, I guess. Satan is just as busy there as he is here, and God is just as big there as he is here. It doesn't really matter so much where we live. What matters is if we're faithful and if we come out where God wants us to. This morning, I'd like to share a message of and trying to encourage us in our Christian walk. If there's a crowd this size, I'm sure that there's struggles here. Well, for one, I'm here. And the Christian life is not necessarily easy always. There are things that we face that God has called us to. We just looked at the example of Moses, where He was called to do something he didn't really care to do. And there's different ways, and I'm sure that you have felt the call of God on your life. Maybe you have faced some things in life that very few people here know about. Maybe there's things that everyone knows about, and maybe there's just the everyday stresses of life that in those times we feel a little tired sometimes. And I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And this morning, Brother Joey read out of Isaiah and gave us some good introduction, some good admonition on how we are to look at life, and especially when we come into the house of God. And Isaiah has some encouragement for us as we sort out life and find strength at the right place. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 is the key verse. I'd like for us to just look at that verse, and I'm going to read more out of Isaiah 40, but verse 31 would be the text verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Strength through waiting is the title of my message. And I don't enjoy waiting. If I am going through a town and it's full of traffic and it takes two or three stoplights to get through, I do not enjoy that. It's not one of my favorite things to do. If one of my boys are running to get a on an errand, and it takes longer than I think that it should. That's not really enjoyable to sit there and wait. And I think sometimes that our perspective of God and His sovereignty, and we have to understand that God knows the big picture of life. And when there are things that come into our life, we wonder why. This thought of waiting is very essential in drawing strength from the right place. Now, this word wait actually has a little different meaning than what we think of waiting. I think that is included. How we think of waiting is not running ahead. It's contemplating. It's pausing. But this word waiting also means to be bound around with. And we'll go here later at the end of the message. But just to think about the verses that Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That yoke is similar to wait upon the Lord. That's what we're talking about, is that we're aligning our life with God and what He wants for us. This verse here shows the ultimate power of God. God doesn't faint or get weary like we do. We don't always understand that, because we live in the flesh where we get tired and weary. We not only get physically tired, but also sometimes emotionally, and yes, sometimes spiritually, we get tired of the battle. And we face weakness and tiredness. We get bogged down at times from the strain of work, responsibilities, and projects. And normal life, as we know it, can be tiring sometimes. And I think sometimes we have to face that. We have to look at it and make sure that we are not inviting that. But maybe this morning you're here and you're not facing any stresses in your life that make you weary. Well, I'd like to trade places with you, if that's the case, because I'd like to hear it. But we live in the flesh. I think we all face those things. Maybe you have faced them, and by the power of God, you're living above them. There are health stresses that we face. Becomes wearisome. There's financial stresses that can make us tired. They can even make us feel worthless sometimes. There are church stresses at times that can zap the vibrant spirit from us. There are job stresses, work stresses that have a heavy weight on us. There are simple changes, the unknown future, and we may be at peace with what God has called me to do, or we are at peace with what we know we are going to be doing, and we may have handled it fine at the moment, but weeks or months down the road we feel the effect of it. And these two can zap our spirit and turn our thoughts inward rather than upward. There are our own choices sometimes that bring discouragement. We looked at that a little bit in Sunday school. How that my short-sightedness or my immaturity has brought, because of the choices I made through those things, it has brought things into my life that maybe bring discouragement. And this morning, this is not a study on psychology. But it's intended to be an encouragement to us during these times to understand who God really is and that He will give us strength. Avoiding discouragement. I have found that when I'm discouraged, I feel helpless, or at least feel there's little I can do. Discouragement is that way. It's almost at the end of the rope. And it can be a form of unbelief. And when I'm discouraged, I have a hard time having faith in people. I have a heart. If God brought something into my life that I knew that it was totally beyond anybody's control, it affects my faith in God. If somebody does something to me that brings discouragement, my faith in that person is less. That's the way it works. The choices we make and how we accept what comes to us is very important. And who we look to for strength to be victorious is also very important. The text verse here tells us that they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, whatever they're called to face. And I think it's important to just remind us that it says that they will renew their strength. And there's a certain aspect of sometimes people have said, well, this thing in my life, or this circumstance, or this temptation, or this whatever it is, I have worked through it, and I had peace about it, but now it's coming up again. And I think it's important for us to remember that Satan is continually bringing things to us. And it's important to renew our strength. It's important for us to do that. Let's get a glimpse of God by reading Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalks shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We have a God this morning that he is describing here that is not limited to the limitations that we are, that we know of. He says he fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. And subconsciously, I think I know that. We know that. We have that head knowledge. But in the hour of temptation, and in the struggle of relationships, and in whatever else comes to us in accepting circumstances of life, those thoughts unless their inner heart will be far from us. Unless our life up to that point is lived that way, we may fall short if we don't have that part of our life. Wait upon the Lord means to bind together. I've already said that. This waiting is not sitting back just to see what will happen or waiting for someone else to do what we are to do. It includes crucifying carnal responses in my heart so that I can look to God for answers. And it's putting self down and extending my hand to God's hand so we can walk together through this. Psalm 25, verse 3 says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Psalm 27, 14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 37, verse 7, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Maybe this morning we have felt like we have waited. We have done that. But the freedom of the world looks so appealing. It looks like it is freedom. There's no restrictions. There's no one holding the reins, keeping us in line. But this morning the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." God does see and he does understand. There are five key points for understanding spiritual strength that I want to take here from Isaiah 40, from verse 27 to the end of the chapter. And I'd like to look at these five key points for understanding spiritual strength. And the first one is in verse 27, where God's eye is all-seeing. It says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." Evidently, the children of Israel were saying that God does not really see what I'm doing. God does not see the wickedness in my heart and the wicked deeds that I'm doing. And God is asking, "Why do you say that?" Because everything does come under his observant eye. But there's also the other side of that in the thought of faithfulness. And maybe sometimes when we have been victorious through a temptation, we have crucified our flesh, we have accepted again the circumstances of life or whatever it is that we're facing, that we can also ask that question. Doesn't God see this? Doesn't he understand what I'm going through? And at times we may think that nobody notices how we've been faithful. Or we may think that no one notices that we are weary or tired. But God has an all-seeing eye that we can be assured that he does see and understand that we are going through. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 is a promise to us this morning. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Do you feel God's eyes this morning, or do you feel his face against you? God's words to King Asa were, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. How is my heart this morning? If God is not with me. The question is my heart perfect? The smallest struggles or the most personal struggles are known to God. He sees each and every one. His ears are open unto our prayers. The second one is God is a giver of strength and power. In verse 29, he says that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. This morning, God is the source of strength and power. He is the one that it comes from. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 18, some verses there that we can claim that shows the ultimate power of Jesus Christ and of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He's saying that he's trying to open our eyes so that we can understand what his power is. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here we see the supreme power of Christ, how God raised him above all other powers, principality and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only for now, but for eternity. And it says that he is the head of the church. And what a comfort to us to this morning as we see his work and power in the church. God as creator is able to sustain his creation. He does not make something that he cannot sustain or keep going with. Even the human race, in the things he supplies for them, we see his power. God is the source of power and strength. There's no other way to get strength from God. And we try to live that. We try to live in our own strength at times, and that is discouraging. And when we face discouragement, we can find it hard to accept that we've been trying to live life in our own strength. We find it hard to admit that we have not sought strength from God, but rather we tried to do it in our own strength. And at times, maybe we don't accept help from others because we fear not being normal in the discouragements we face. And that compounds as we try to face life on our own and not open up to God and others that would help. But part of understanding the source of strength, the personal struggle that's in every human heart, of understanding that God is the source of strength, is admitting that I do not have it in me. It does not come from within me. And when we can truly accept that, we can be open about our struggles and share them with others and look to God for the true source of strength. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. There's some verses here. Then in 1 Corinthians and Hebrews I want to look at that talk about our weakness and how God can work through our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul is saying this after he had a thorn in the flesh and he besought God three times for it. Maybe we'll begin reading in verse 9. of 2 Corinthians 12. And he said unto me, or Jesus said unto him, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's simple truth that we have to understand, is that when we admit we are weak, then we can accept God's strength. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. First Corinthians 1, verse 25, Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's putting God and man in the right order. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34. This is in the faith chapter. And it was an encouragement to me as I thought about those that were mentioned in the heroes of faith. And it went down, and it says that time would not permit him to speak of everybody. But he brought on a whole bunch of things that they did that through faith. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, verse 33. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. All those dramatic things in our minds were part of the items of the heroes of faith, and then he puts in there this small phrase, out of weakness were made strong. And this morning it's no different for you and I sitting in 2017 in this church. We can also be part of the heroes of faith that when out of our weakness we let God strengthen us and produce strength in our life. God is a giver of strength and power. Number three, God's ways are higher than our ways. Verses 28 and 29 bring that out in here in Isaiah 40, where we're looking at. He says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. And in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As people, in our limited understanding, we have a hard time understanding the big picture. We are short-sighted, and sometimes we can see no further than our struggles, our thoughts, our circumstances of life. But God sees everything. And if you think of the story of Job, Job did not know the conversation between, at least I don't think he did, between God and Satan. But he was put on test, and he came through that victorious. When we trust our life and circumstances into a sovereign God, we don't have to see the big picture, but simply live by the faith that what God allows into my life, it will be for my good. No matter what comes, if I turn it back to God, it will be for His good. I believe a simple acceptance of life circumstances reveal a simple faith in a sovereign God. A simple acceptance of life circumstances reveal a simple faith in a sovereign God. No, we may not understand why this has happened or why we are where we are. Accepting the sovereignty of God is letting go of control. And discouragement, as I had said before, can often stem from disappointments that are outside of our control, and this can lead to bitterness if left unchecked. which can be a form of blaming God for allowing this into my life, which is unbelief in the sovereignty of God, blaming God for things that he allowed into my life. God's ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts than my thoughts. Romans 8:28, very familiar verse. We probably could say that verse by memory. I should be able to, but Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This morning, if we want to have strength in God, we have to consider that God's ways are higher than our ways. And this morning, somehow, I'd like to inspire our faith to cling to that again, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes it simply takes faith to know that. We see no way that this circumstance can work for good, but we have to accept it because we don't understand the big picture and the beginning from the end. I mentioned Job. How that he was faithful. He did not see the big picture necessarily. But I had to think about how many Jobs are on trial today. How many Jobs are facing, is God watching? Often it isn't by one big struggle that wearies us, but the small daily temptations and struggles. Job said through that, and I admire his faith, that though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We have to understand the sovereignty of God. Number four, youthfulness is not a guarantee for strength. In verse 30, it says that even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And often we think of youth as not getting weary or tired. There's vibrancy, there's strength, there's endurance. It's a time when we are full of life and vigor. But it says here that even the youth shall faint. So we can conclude from that going through life, that youthfulness is not the answer to being strong, spiritually strong. It says that even they will become weary. When our life is seeking satisfaction outside of God and his kingdom, we become weary searching for contentment. And I think what he's saying here, that man at his best, man at his prime, is unable to make it through life without God's help and intervention. And we have to crucify those things. Actually, we have to crucify our own ability to do things sometimes. Our ability to talk our way out of a circumstance. Or our ability to do whatever, because that's not enough. We have to wait upon the Lord and be renewed by his strength. The Apostle Paul said that the things that were gained to him, those things that he felt were an asset to him, they were a good thing in his mind. He says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency. He's trading that for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not my having mine own righteousness. Not the ability that I have to make it through life. And people have made it pretty far on their own ability already. But they won't make it all the way. Number five, when we wait on God, we receive his strength. In verse 31, we read that, it's a text verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We receive his strength. When we bind our life together with God's, we let God have the timing, and we wait on him. And it's letting go of our ambitions and of our accomplishments and turning them over to God. It's difficult for a man to wait on God when we face discouragements, frustrations, and circumstances that we'd rather not face. The ability to wait on God is surrendering our will to the Father's will. This is not just sitting back to just see what happens. That's not what he's talking about. Sometimes it's sitting still and waiting for God. But it's not sitting back and just not caring about it. There's a difference. Or waiting for someone else to do something. It's not accepting sin or overlooking wrongdoing, but it is an inward exercise that conditions the heart for proper response to the circumstances we face, whatever it is. And then Jesus' words in Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Does this sound like binding my life with God's? Taking his yoke upon me. And while it sounds maybe taking a burden upon us, the strength that comes through the source of that yoke will help us make it to the end. I don't know if you remember what you sang this morning, the third song, People of the Living God. In the third verse, it says, "Tell me not of pain and loss, ease, enjoyment, pomp, and power. Welcome poverty and cross, shame, reproach, affliction's hour. Follow me, I know thy voice, Jesus, Lord, thy steps I see. Now I take thy yoke by choice, light thy burden now to me." When we are yoked with Christ, we receive his strength. He talks about laboring. And that is to feel fatigue, to be weary. He talks about heavy laden, to load up, overburden. There's a thought of spiritual anxiety there. And he talks about rest. And that means to refresh, intermission, recreation. He talks about yoke, which is coupling. And maybe this morning you feel weary, you feel fatigue of a heavy load, or maybe you feel just slightly burdened of life, you don't know why, or discouraged. But I want us to have our eyes upon the Master of Strength this morning, that there's no other place that we can go to that can gain strength for our Christian life and be faithful to him. Jesus is offering his yoke to us this morning. And while the things of the world may look attractive, that may look especially attractive to those that are discouraged, because it looks like an easy way out. It looks like a fulfillment of pleasure. It looks like less burdens. But Jesus is offering his yoke to us this morning. The answer is not to go to the Bahamas and put our feet up and forget all the trouble. It's not to forget it, but the answer is to be yoked with Christ and we will find rest. And renew our strength. And along with renewing our strength, we need to renew our commitment sometimes. And it is good for us to just evaluate where I'm at in my Christian life, the things I'm facing and my attitudes towards them, and just recommit to Jesus Christ, that the Son of God who gave his life for me, why not could I give him mine? The key to vibrant spiritual life And healthy vision for life is when we are yoked with the giver of life and the one who has faced the worst circumstances ever. Why do we try to find satisfaction in other things? I do it too. It's a lesson that I hope I'm learning. Often we try to find rest without being yoked. To find rest, we must learn of Christ. To learn of Christ, we must be yoked to Christ. And to be yoked with Christ, we must come to Christ. And to come to Christ, we must be tired of our heavy-laden life. And the invitation is always before us. Will you accept it? Will I accept it? There's choices we make in life of which direction. There's opportunities on the narrow road to get off. There's often opportunities to get off of the narrow way. There's paths leading to the broad way. And the devil makes sure there's plenty of opportunities for that. And I trust this morning that as we looked at this and we found that the true source of power comes from God, that we can trust in God. It talks about rest, that this yoke actually produces in our life. And I would like to just think just for a minute or two about that rest. There's a song we sing sometimes that put into perspective this rest we're talking about. It's hiding in the rock. It's a calm, secure, satisfied relationship with God. There's a lasting satisfaction and peace that comes with resting in God. But there's a couple of questions I'd like for us to consider before I read this song. Can I be at rest in the cleft of the rock if I am at odds with God and the thing He is touching in my life, the attitude He's touching in my life, the thing, whatever it may be? Can I find rest in the cleft of the rock if I am resisting my parents, the church, the Spirit of God? Can I find rest in those things, in the cleft of the rock, if I am resisting? In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long for rest. Then I found this heavenly shelter opened in my Savior's breast. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in His smiles of love I live. In the rifted rock I'll hide me, till the storms of life are past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. And the chorus says, now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in Thee. We can try other clefts, other pursuits, other goals, but only to be disappointed. The devil will make sure that there are other clefts that we can choose of the rock. But we find this heavenly shelter opened in my Savior's breast. Hebrews 4, verse 19. I'll just read those verses. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. And I'd like for us to get that, especially get that. Hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And we have plenty of examples in scriptures of those that resisted God, resisted the offer of that He has given them, and we are not ignorant of that. Revelation 14, verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. And while we wait upon the Lord today, we can hope for a future rest. While we find that rest today by being yoked to Christ, it's a foretaste of what is to come, but the struggles and temptations will be taken away. May we each be faithful. God is at work, and He is interested. His all-seeing eye is looking upon us. And I trust that as a church here, you can continue to be faithful, continue to have an open heart, continue to help each other onward, and may God receive the glory. Let's pray.